For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Some of you, I think most of you were here yesterday morning. We were graced by the presence of a class from the seminary in Hyde Park, University of Chicago Divinity School. So we had a very full Zendo. And I spoke about, we're in the middle of the practice commitment period, which whether or not you're formally part of, all of you have heard over the last month, talks about Hongzhi. And I want to kind of say more, go over what I talked about yesterday morning, which is one of the major themes in Hongzhi's practice instructions, which is romping and playing in samadhi. And I think it's important and worth talking about more. So, I mentioned some of the other major themes that are in the practice instructions from Hongzhi. So returning to the source is maybe the first one, seeing through the empty field to the source of everything arising right now. This is our practice of Zazen, taking a backward step, turning our attention inward, facing the wall and facing ourselves. And the source. What is the source right now? So this is not the source as in Western religion, where there was a Genesis and a creator deity and all that. This is this fundamental source of our experience and our awareness right now. So that's one of the themes. Again, just to review these, I talked about the Buddha work, which is, or Hongzhi talks about the Buddha work, so does Dogen, which is how we express Buddha on our seats. So Buddha is not somewhere else that we have to go wandering off to locate and get a hold of. Buddha is already on your seat. This is our basic teaching. But there's work to do. So Dogen talks about Buddha going beyond Buddha. It's not enough just to, it's all enough, but at any rate, having some good understanding of Buddha, of awakeness, that's possible. But that's not exactly the point. And having, some dramatic experiences of awakening also can be helpful. But that's also not the point. That's maybe the starting point. The point of the Buddha work is to unfold and express awakeness and kindness and caring and attention. So this romping and playing in samadhi is how we do the Buddha work. So I'll come back to the playing and the romping and all that. But as Dogen says, Dogen talks a lot about Buddha going beyond Buddha. So how do we unfold our expression on our seats and when we're doing walking meditation and when we go out and work in the world and engage with our coworkers or our family and friends, our neighbors? How do we express the Buddha work? And that has to do with responding. So Hongzhi talks about response a mutual response. Response is not one-sided. The whole world is responding to our practice right now. And how it's doing that is by romping and playing in samadhi. So I want to suggest that this play is exactly all of the other themes. Hongzhi also talks a lot about the ancestors. And we've started to talk about the ancestors. There's the lineage going back to Suki Roshi and Dogen and Hongzhi and Dongshan and Bodhidharma and Shakyamuni Buddha himself. So venerating the ancestors is a big part of our practice, but it doesn't mean just looking back at this these names that we chant. And those are just some of the, you know, we also have a list of women ancestors, and that's given out when we do lay ordination or priest ordination too. Many, many beings contributed to our being able to romp and play in samadhi right now. And also we can see ancestors not just in our spiritual lineage, although that's wonderful, but also, you know, each of us has genetic ancestors, each of us has cultural ancestors, people we look back to, for whatever creative expression we are engaged with, whether it's cooking or writing or music or, you know, all of that is supported by Zazen. Zazen itself is this creative activity of expressing Buddha on our seat. So another major theme in Hongzhi's practice instructions I didn't mention yesterday is just all of the celebration of nature, all of the nature metaphors, the way that Hongzhi gives us examples from nature of how we can romp and play in samadhi, to put it that way. So I want to go back to reading these excerpts. There are four places in the practice instructions where Hongzhi talks about romping, or sometimes I translate it as roaming. Same character can be translated either way. But before I read these excerpts again, you know, Zazen can look like this grim, stoic, stiff thing. And we, you know, we're encouraged to sit upright, to not move, or to, you know, if we have to move in a period of Zazen, do it as quietly and carefully as you can, not to obstruct others, to distract others, not to distract oneself either. So how do we find a way of sitting that is alive? It's not, you know, there was a Zendo that's actually part of or related to the Soto lineage, of a guy named Kumu, and his Zendo was called the dead stump Zendo, because everybody sat still like dead tree stumps. So this was the famous Zendo in Seoul, China. But I would suggest that that's not really what this is about. We may sit like dead stumps only to learn to play more fully, to express ourselves more fully. As Dongshan said in Zhongmer Samadhi, when the wooden man begins to sing, the stone woman gets up to dance. So this is, you know, how we may express our awareness in everyday activity, but it's also part of samadhi. Part samadhi is a technical term in India, in Indian Buddhism, and later means concentration on some object, on our breath or on sounds, or, you know, their libraries full of concentration objects, and that can be helpful. You know, when we're feeling distracted or unsteady or sleepy or whatever, especially in longer sittings, to focus on some concentration object. But I would say that the basic Zazen in our tradition is simply to play in samadhi. So as thoughts and feelings arise, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to figure anything out or get a hold of anything, but just allow the play of samadhi. Samadhi generally means meditation in China and beyond. So how do we sit still and yet allow playfulness in our body and mind? That doesn't mean moving and jerking around. It means feeling the aliveness and the play, the give in our body, in our lower back, in our shoulders, in our mudra, in our legs and knees. How do we feel the play of the yogic aspect of zazen? And then also in our heart minds, which are not, it's not separate from our bodies, of course, but thoughts and feelings come up. And the practice is not to try to figure something out. Or if we're thinking about a line from Hongzhou or one of the koan teaching stories, it's not to get some answer. It's to play with what is going on with this and what does it have to do with us and our practice. So this is the spirit of playfulness, of creativity, of expression. Dogen also very much emphasizes expressiveness in our zazen. So to enjoy, Dogen calls this the Dharma gate of ease and bliss, enjoyment and bliss. How do we enjoy our inhale and exhale? And feel what we're feeling in our body and in our thoughts and feelings. And then allow it to play as samadhi in our being. So, with that introduction, I want to again read some of these excerpts of where Hongzhi talks about romping and playing in samadhi. He says, simply realize mutual response and explore mutual response and turn around and enter the world. So he talks about response a lot, but it's mutual response. It's not like we decide how to respond to some situation or some person. It's a kind of conversation. It's a relationship. It's deeper than knowing how to respond. And as I said yesterday, the great teacher Yunmen was asked, what is the teaching of all Buddhas, all lifetime? And he said, an appropriate response. And in many situations, what is an appropriate response is challenging. And sometimes we try to respond helpfully and it doesn't work. It's a mistake. So we have to learn to appreciate our mistakes. Be willing to make mistakes. It's not about, the forms are not there for us to be perfect at, to be a virtuoso in expressing forms in the Zen, there were forms in our life, but to appreciate and to use as ways to see our own, the play of our own hearts and minds. Having some structure is helpful. It's important. So that was just the first sentence of that passage. Simply realize mutual response and explore mutual response and turn around and enter the world. So first we come in to the zendo or to our seat and take the backward step, turn our light inwardly, focus on what's going on our seat. But then we go back out into the world. So he says then, roam and play in samadhi. Every detail clearly appears before you. Sound and form, echo and shadow happen instantly without leaving traces. So that's another theme of Hongzhi's practice instructions, is the process of perception, how we see and hear, how we relate to visual objects and sound objects and not be caught by them. Every detail clearly appears before you, sound and form, echo and shadow happen instantly without leaving traces. The outside and myself do not dominate each other, only because no perceiving of objects comes between us. Of course, this is a radical teaching, because our whole language is based on subject verb object, and we think of the world out there as a bunch of dead objects. You may think this stick is a dead object, but it's alive. And you are alive. We are all alive. Sometimes we treat each other as dead objects. Sometimes we treat ourselves as dead objects. How do we... So this roaming and playing in samadhi is about finding the play, finding the vitality, finding the life in our life, enjoying our life. But we have to stop and sit still. Be quiet, to really settle into and learn how much this world is alive and we are alive. So, see if I can get through this first passage. The outside and myself do not dominate each other only because no perceiving of objects comes between us. Only this non-perceiving encloses the empty space of the Dharma realm's majestic 10,000 forms. The empty space of the whole universe, including all the beings who are expressing themselves in it. And he says, people with the original face should enact and fully investigate the field without neglecting a single fragment. So, let's see how many of these passages I can get to tonight. Elsewhere he says, rely only on the source of creation. The source of creation is not something that happened, you know, in biblical times or before biblical times or in Genesis or in 1776 or whatever. The source of creation isn't when you were born, even. The source of creation is happening right now. The source of creative and expressive energy is always there. If you feel a shadow of a hair's gap, Hongzhi says, nothing will be received. Just experience and respond appropriately. From the singular impact, many thousands of roads open and all things are preeminent. All things are preeminent. Hongzhi also talks about all beings are your ancestor. So we can see everyone we have ever encountered is part of what's happening on your seat right now. All beings, all of us are each other's ancestors. It's kind of hard to get our head around. But Mike, can you see how Matthew is your ancestor? And vice versa. This is what Hongzhi is saying. Just experience and respond appropriately. Many thousands of roads open. All things are preeminent. With this unification, I radiantly speak the Dharma. So some of you like this image, these images of radiance and illumination. Moksha says, with this unification, with this sense of subject and object together, intimately, we can radiantly speak the Dharma. The self divides into 10 billion distinct illuminating spirits. Hongzhi says, distinguish these without falling into names and classifications and accord fully without effort. So we can experience our lives and experience each other and experience all the different parts of our being, all of our habits and grasping and frustration and all of that without being caught by it. It's possible. And then sometimes we do get caught by it. Sometimes we get caught by our aversion or our anger, and we can inflate it into, grudge and resentment and hate. This happens. This is a possibility for human beings. Maybe you've noticed. But as Hongzhi says, distinguish these without falling into names and classifications and accord fully without effort, just to play in this awareness, just to romp and play, is according fully without effort. And we don't have to be somber and serious about all this. even though it's the most serious thing in the world in a way. But the only way to really take it seriously, this practice of finding the meaning of our lives, of expressing caring, of expressing our togetherness with all beings, the way to take that seriously is to romp and play in samadhi. That's what Hongzhi is saying to us. He says the mirror is clear and magnanimous. The valley is empty, but echoes from the beginning unbound by seeing or hearing. The genuine self romps and plays in samadhi without obstruction. When enacted like this, how could it not be beneficial? So how do we find the spirit of playing with the situations in our life? This is a way of caring about our life and how we are. But we have to, being very stiff and somber and serious about it is not ultimately helpful. Maybe there's a time for that, I don't know. But I also want to mention again the song of the grass hut, which we sometimes chant by Shuto, who was a few generations before Dogshan, who wrote the Jewel Mare Samadhi. And he says, let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. Let go of all, the centuries of conditioning that have gone into what's happening on your seat right now. Let go of hundreds of years. It's okay. We don't ignore or neglect our karma. That's the Fox Koa teaching in Zen, but let go. Enjoy your life. Enjoy this day, this evening. Enjoy yourself. Having this practice of Zazen is ultimately about how we can endlessly discover how to enjoy ourselves, enjoy each other, enjoy the whole process of our being together with everything and vice versa. Maybe I have time to read another. Arrive at this field, openly letting go of dependency. So we have a meditation and recovery group Tuesday night where they practice letting go of dependency. This is not easy, of course. We all have various things we're addicted to in some way. I'm addicted to brushing my teeth in the morning and in the evening. I guess I'm also addicted to coffee. There are worse things, I guess. How do we just enjoy the play, the interplay, the give and take, the shifting play of all of the routines or rituals of our life? So he says, arrive at this field, openly letting go of dependency. Doesn't mean that we have to crush and push away all of our thoughts that are sticky, but just this art of letting go, of inhaling and exhaling, feeling the end of the exhale, letting go. He continues, when conditioned dusts do not pollute it, all situations are intimately matched. Box and lid fit, and arrow points meet, referencing also the harmony of difference and sameness of Chateau. This is auspicious and does not miss the mark. How things connect. The play of connection, interconnection. Then he says, roaming and playing in samadhi, people in this state accept their function. And there was a good question yesterday about that. And maybe I'll say more about that. So accepting your function, this is related to the Jujyu Zanmai, the samadhi of self-fulfillment and enjoyment. which is very much related to this roaming and playing in samadhi. This is something we chant sometimes. Maybe we haven't in a while, maybe we should do that instead of hongzhi sometime in the practice period. Anyway, emptying one's sense of self-existence is wondrous. So this is in the section of hongzhi that I call investigating wonder. This wonder is embodied with a spirit that can be enacted. So just to wonder has a number of meanings. It's also wonderful, and it's also wondering about what's going on. How did it get to be this wonderful? How did it get to be this horrible? It's not separate from the suffering of the world. It all comes up together. Then there's this one, another example of Ongja's wonderful nature images to help us. He says, the moon mind with its cloud body is revealed straightforwardly in every direction without resorting to signs or symbols. We don't need to designate some sign, some definition. We don't need to get a hold of it and grasp it tightly to us, just to enjoy the play of how the moon, mind, and cloud body are revealed. Radiating light everywhere, he says. It responds appropriately.
Can you guys hear online now? That's a thumbs up
from Brian. Okay.
Great.
Okay, so before this modern technological world so rudely interrupted us, Mike was saying something.
Thanks for Oh, yes. Play sometimes makes me feel timid because of a fear of seeing if the other person wants to be played with, and the fear of if I might be harming them. In my exploration of playfulness. So that's what comes to mind with that word.
That's great. Thank you. So when we're being playful, we can inadvertently say something that maybe makes somebody else uncomfortable or makes ourselves uncomfortable. It's risky, you know, to actually be alive, to actually play with body, mind, and appropriate response, and, you know, sometimes we miss. Often we miss. And we can shut down from that. And, you know, when you said, you talked about being timid, Mike, you know, I think it's also important to say that we are careful in our playing at the same time. So, you know, somebody brought up yesterday spontaneity. So improv and spontaneity is challenging. How do we allow something to arise? This is a real challenge, you know. And I think that timidity, is that the word, that Mike mentioned is important to respect. So it doesn't mean going wild, you know, or it can mean that, but then it is when that's appropriate. So part of what Zazen gives us is this faculty of noticing what's happening, you know, of paying attention. So it may help us to romp and play more felicitously. So thank you for that caution. Yes, Jordan.
Sure, I would love to say something. The part about a response and appropriateness spoke a lot to me, because you may notice that I don't often contribute or speak because I'm mostly thinking and almost avoided or timid to say something that's not appropriate or not... it doesn't relate to maybe a verse or what's been spoken before or something like that. But continuing with the commitment period and sitting at home and coming into the temple has give me the faculty to feel more comfortable with my thoughts and sharing that. Although, like I've spoken to Matthew about it, I may still feel that what I have to share may not be incredibly appropriate, but it's still contributing to the Buddha work and sharing with the community. So,
yeah,
that's my contribution.
That's wonderful, and it's true. And I also feel sometimes that what I'm saying may not be appropriate to the situation and the people here. That I think part of Buddha going beyond Buddha is playing with this and feeling our own concern about, you know, and there's something very respectful and wonderful about your caring about, am I being appropriate or not? And at the same time, we can let that completely hold us back. Yeah. Or, you know, as you said, as we settle into Zazen, we feel a little more space, a little more openness, a little more play to allow something to come up. So, yeah, that process is endless. It's not like after you've sat for 20 years or 30 years or more, that then it's all automatic. Well, I think that that's part of being alive, is that we struggle with this. And yet we play with this. So thank you, George. Bryant, you had your hand up. Do you still?
Yes, sure. Thank you. I just wanted to offer an additional perspective on romping and playing. I've studied widely in Tibetan traditions, and the idea of playing comes up there as well. And the perspective is that the world itself and what we call normally our obstacles and our hindrances and even the skandhas and everything is the play of our awareness, of our Buddha mind, without our having to actually intend to play or willfully play. It already, the appearances of the world is the play of awareness. That's one interesting perspective. And I think it's useful because it sort of shifts the perspective on things, that we can look at things that we might normally interpret immediately as problems. And if you just are somehow able to switch that into, this is the play of my awareness, how can I play with this? How can I work with it? That it ceases to have as much of a negative effect. So that would be my two cents on that.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, the world plays with us too. Things happen and they're difficult, and how do we have, so each problem, so-called problem, each thing that we see as a problem, is also a dharma gate, an opportunity to, we could say overcome it, but also we could just say to play with it and see how to find an appropriate interaction in there. So sometimes it's in center that when somebody's having some difficulty, they say, well, that's good for your practice. And you can feel, thanks. But actually, you know, our struggles, our difficulties, our challenges, transitions in our lives are all opportunities. And they can be difficult or less so. And the more we can find our facility for allowing some play in the situation or playing with the situation, you know, then we can appreciate the world and the world can appreciate us more. Yes, Moni?
English has one characteristic that I don't have in my native language for the word play. In that it is both the playfulness of, you know, having fun, or it can also be, I don't want to say a pantomime, but a theatrical play or something staged.
Right.
And I think it gets particularly interesting, this, the duality of this meaning, when Bryant mentions that the projection of awareness is really the play of the self, the ego, the center, the source, all of that. So why, if we think of it as such, what is the value in taking such play seriously and enjoying also the playfulness of it? Like, what is the line between the two, and why should it be taken seriously at times?
So you're talking, the two you're talking about is seriousness and playfulness? That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused myself. If at times I'm tempted to deep down think that everything is play and remove value from it, just because it's a projection and a play itself.
Yeah, play can be silly. And, you know, and that, sometimes that's appropriate. But, yeah, you use the word value, and I appreciate that very much. So, you know, romping and playing in samadhi is also about the precepts. It's the play with the precepts, because each one is complex. And that's a whole other talk, but not to kill is also to support life. Not to kill is to help everyone else not kill. Mm-hmm. And how do we, there's a kind of, I think we have to play with the precepts and see if play is also seeing from different sides, seeing how somebody else sees it, seeing different viewpoints. Maybe Buddha can see all the different viewpoints in the world, but none of us can. But that's okay. It's what the play is, that we have our particular dharma position, is what Dogen calls it. Hongzhi talks about our function, how we is in the world, and how we can respond. So, yeah. So enjoy your play, But I think to appropriateness in the play has to do with values, with what is important, you know. And insight is about seeing what's important right now. But there's a play to that too. So thank you all. Oh, Hogetsu.
I just, you know, one thing that arose for me around play as we were talking this evening has to do with children's play. Mm-hmm. And toddlers play, and babies play, and the function of that play is to learn about the world and yep. learn about yourself in the world, and that there's a brilliance to the play of children. And it's often in a safe, contained environment. So I think of our Zendo like a playpen for bodhisattvas.
Yes. Good.
But there's, you know, as a child grows and develops, play has different functions, but teenagers play with their dress or identities, you know, and so there's a dynamic quality, but there's a wisdom to it. Like we're trying to learn something about the world and ourselves. So that's sort of the Buddha work of play, you might say.
Yes, that's the Buddha work of play. And it's about finding appropriate responses in the midst of, you know, well, yeah, good.
Well, like, you know, Tala will throw everything on the floor, every single thing, and open every cabinet and discover things. And sometimes they can break things.
Yes.
But they're also trying to organize the world and figure out how to negotiate that.
Right.
And I think of us as toddler bodhisattvas.
yeah, we're just starting. And so you don't have to feel like you're alone in that journey.
Yes.
So, thank you, Hogetsu. Yeah. And children are also playing to investigate wonder, as Hongzhi puts
yes.
it. So, good. Thank you. Great discussion. Thank you all so much. We'll do the four bodhisattva vows now three times.
Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. The Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We bow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We bow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We bow to realize it.
Beings are.
Was the three of them.
Oh, that was good.
That's the three.
Oh, we could always
all night.